Well, greetings everyone and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on 2008 in review when we come back. You know, if you're earning $50,000 a year and you pay all of your 14 taxes, you get to keep about 40% of what you create and produce. The government gets the other 60%. Now, that's $20,000 for you and $30,000 for the government. Now, isn't that just real special? And if you think that your share isn't enough for you, then why don't you work twice as hard and produce twice as much and make $100,000 next year? Then go ahead and pay your same 14 taxes, just like you did this year. And you're going to net about 25%, and the government will net 75%, which means that for working twice as hard and producing twice as much, you're going to get about 8% more net take-home pay than you did this year. You produce twice as much and get 8% of it. Isn't that special? That's why I contend there ought to be something more intelligent for you and I to do than to work to put ourselves in the top 5% of income earners and then only net 25% of it. Why don't you call today and order our free general law CD package and let me tell you how to deal with that kind of crime. It's 4 hours of entertaining information that answers many of your legal questions about taxes and why it is we're paying so much and receiving so little in return. To order that free general law CD package, just call direct. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Or you can go to our website. It's georgegordon.org. Just click on the email and send us an email request for that same free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org. Or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Do it right now while you're thinking about it. Hey, 2008. My God, what a year. If you'd have told me last January what was going to transpire in 2008, I would have thought that you were a madman. But the International Forecaster has some neat parts of the story that occurred in 2008 in one of the recent issues dated December the 20th, 2008. So let's put this under current affairs. This guy's name is Bob Chapman, so let me give you some of the particulars here. Bob Chapman puts out the International Forecaster. It's a newsletter. Comes out twice a week. Twice a week. It's probably the biggest, most comprehensive of the newsletters that's published here in the United States. It runs about 20 to 30 pages twice a week, 52 weeks a year, 50 weeks anyway. Sometimes he'll take a week off, especially here around the end of the year. But as a general rule, it's twice a week, 20 to 30 pages, and it's jam-packed with what's going on in the real world as opposed to the Land of Oz that we see on Katie Couric and Brian Williams and ABC News. Now, he starts off here with U.S. markets. He says, when in the wake of the Bear Stearns collapse, Meredith Whitney, you got to write that name down, Meredith Whitney is an economist, a female economist, and she was working for Oppenheimer. Well, she blew the whistle on Citigroup a couple of years ago for carrying out what only can be termed pseudo-derivatives at par with bogus 3A ratings, derivatives that were essentially nothing but toxic waste created by Ponzi schemers Rubin and Prince. This Rubin fella is called Robert Rubin. He was the Secretary of the Treasury in the Clinton years, and now he's coming into the Obama group. He's not Secretary of Treasury, but he's going to be on the President's Council of Economic Advisors, I believe, or maybe even a close advisor to the President on financial affairs. Remember that name, Robert Rubin. To absorb a portion of the millions of mortgages that should never have been made in the first place. These elitists were caught with their pants down. Now, for the Illuminati, this came out of far left field, and they have been scampering around like rats on a sinking ship trying to implement some sort of damage control. These efforts to date have totally failed. They have failed to stop the U.S. economic supertanker from sinking. And in fact, all their machinations have instead made the holes in its hull much, much larger, thus accelerating the rate at which it is sinking. Now, the Illuminati had planned to milk the financial system for several more years before intentionally destroying it. They were drawing out huge salaries, stock options, bonuses, golden parachutes, fees, commissions, and spreads, which over the course of the past 10 years, mainly during the Bush administration, numbered in the trillions of dollars. Alan Greenspan, of course, made their paths swift and sure with ludicrously low interest rates, while Bill Clinton did away with the Glass-Steagall Act and its systems of checks and balances, which were installed back in the 1930s to prevent just such an event as we see going on today. Now, Clinton also implemented the unregulated OTC, that's over-the-counter derivatives market, with the passage of the Commodity Futures Modernization Act. That's an opaque market, which has burgeoned into a quadrillion-dollar derivative Death Star that will eventually destroy the entire world financial system. And by way of this destruction, the Illuminists hope to pave the way for a world government based on the old feudal system of nobles and serfs in an attempt to bring order out of chaos. After all, the black nobility of Europe were feeling a bit nostalgic about the Dark Ages. Those ages were indeed dark for everyone, except, of course, for the nobility. And they would like to have some retroaction on the economic mores of those times. But now, caught with their pants down around their ankles as Meredith peeked into the boys' lavatory to see what they were up to, they knew the jig was up. The tide suddenly went out, just like it does before the onslaught of a tidal wave or a tsunami, and they were found as naked as jaybirds, without so much as a Speedo bathing suit covering their diabolical deer ears. And now their conspiracy has been exposed, and the chain reaction is beginning to build. Now, their plans to implement world government had to be accelerated as a result of this exposure of their nefarious plans. So first, the subprime derivatives imploded, and then soon followed by the municipal auction rate bonds and their insurers, and then the investment bankers started to collapse. But you'd never know that based on what their CEOs told everyone, seeing that they lied through their teeth about the condition of their totally and completely bankrupt companies right up to the day that they went bankrupt or were taken over. Now, every major commercial bank on Wall Street, some of which were former investment banks like Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley, is still 100% insolvent, despite Henry Paulson, our Secretary of the Treasury's nuts of taxpayer largesse from the Paulson Ponzi Plunder Plan. And that's what they call it here. The Paulson Ponzi Plunder Plan, which can now be found in the baggy little cheeks of these illuminist banks. Now, these equity injections are a dog and pony show to keep you, the American public, to give you the appearance of solvency, while the Sarbanes-Oxley Act is ignored by regulators and unmarketable derivatives are exchanged for treasuries under this new TSLF. Now, I forgot what that thing was. That's that $800 billion Bush bailout plan. They call it the TSLF. I forgot what that stands for, but it's smoke and mirrors. And these smoke and mirrors, together with baling wire and chewing gum, are the only things holding these large commercial banks together. They and the Fed, which is feeding them, will be nationalized after the derivative Death Star goes supernova. So let's pause here and let's talk for a second here about this Death Star, this derivative Death Star. Derivatives are insurance policies. Let's suppose that you wanted to buy some treasuries here in the United States. Treasury, this is United States savings bonds when I was a kid. And, you know, there's nothing safer than investing in the United States of America. So we buy U.S. savings bonds or treasury bills. And these government instruments you buy for, we used to pay, I think it was $18, and then when they matured, you get paid back $25. So you made $7 off of it. And you buy these, and it finances your government, and it finances your national debt. Well, let's suppose that you bought $10 million worth of these government treasury bills. But you say to yourself, I want to be super conservative. After all, what happens if the United States of America goes bankrupt? Or like the German government in 1945 is conquered and taken over by a foreign power? Then what would happen to my $10 million investment? And the answer is you'd lose it. So there's an insurance policy out here you can buy to protect you from that. You know, maybe you bought some Argentine bonds. You know, Argentina is not exactly gilt-edged, you know, investment material. So now, how much would you have to pay if you were to buy these $10 million worth of U.S. treasuries? Well, last year, you would have paid a $100,000 premium, you know, $100,000 and a little change. But this year, you have to pay $600,000 and some change. Now, when I was a kid, it was unthinkable for you to even begin to start to think that maybe the United States of America might possibly be a day late paying you on your treasury bills or your savings bonds. But today, that's no longer true. In fact, the insurance companies now, and AIG is one of the big ones here, these derivatives issuers, these insurance companies, banks and hedge funds and so on, are 600% more convinced that there's that possibility because they want six times more premium. Now, boys and girls, that starts to tell you something, doesn't it? All right. Now, this derivative Death Star now totals more than a quadrillion is a thousand trillion. A trillion is a thousand billion. A billion is a thousand million. A million is a thousand thousand. So you go from thousands to millions to billions to trillions to quadrillions. That's five steps. You know, out here where I live, you'd have to take your shoes off to count that high. And in fact, if I took both my shoes off, I couldn't count that high. All right, now, what's going on here in reality is, let's go back here a little bit and review this. Remember, there was a company called AIG, American International Group. It's the biggest insurance company in the world. you probably never heard much about them. Not like Mutual of Omaha or John Hancock or Mutual, you know, of this or that or something else. But they're the biggest ones in the world. And they issue a lot of these derivatives. They insure investors against, you know, for instance, let's take General Motors. What if you bought stock or bought General Motors bonds and then you wanted to insure them? You'd have gone to AIG to insure them in case General Motors goes bankrupt or broke. Right? Then AIG would come in and pay you. See, it's like your house burning down. And these are called derivatives. Now, AIG went out and made $10 trillion worth of these liabilities. And then they couldn't pay off on them when Bear Stearns went broke. So when these big investment banks go upside down, somebody has bought a lot of insurance. In fact, a lot of people bought a lot of insurance. And then as a result of that, AIG has to pay off. And they got to the point where they couldn't pay off. They were insolvent. And they were too big to fail, so the United States government comes in and pays $85 billion to buy, I think it was 79% of the company. Let me just pause here for a moment and ask you this question. Now, let's suppose that you were living next door to a guy who owned an apartment house. Now, this apartment house has been a pretty good-looking investment for a long time. And your neighbor comes over and he says to you, well, I'm in a little bit of financial trouble and I'd like to sell my apartment house to you. And you say, well, let me see the records and books. And so he brings over the books and you find out that this apartment house has some liabilities. And the liabilities total $10 trillion. You know, to bring it a little bit more down into our sphere over here, let's say it's $10 million. And then you take a look at its assets. And it has $850,000 worth of assets. That is the building and the grounds and the rents and the cash flow and everything that's in this property over here equals $850,000. But it's got $10 million worth of debt. Would you then pay $850,000 to buy this apartment house? Just think that over. Now, you know, maybe you're a housewife or a truck driver, and maybe you're not too attuned to business, but let me share with you what an ordinary, everyday, garden variety businessman like myself, I'm an old-timey businessman, what we would think of such a deal. That is so preposterous. That is so much poppycock that it defies description. I mean, it absolutely defies description. And here's why. You see, when your liabilities equal your assets, you are bankrupt. When you get to the point where you owe $10,000 and you have $10,000 worth of assets, you are bankrupt. In this case, you don't even have 10% of assets to cover your liabilities. That's the AIG deal. Now, in my business career in real estate, not numerous times, people would come to me and they would say, Mr. Gordon, would you take my building from me free? I'll give you my apartment house. These are called distressed properties. Very common, for whatever reason. The building is distressed because its assets and liabilities are about even. In other words, we got a $300,000 building and we got $300,000 worth of asset. That's where about 11 million Americans are with their houses, their homes today. They actually have no equity in the property. These are distressed properties. This is where you have a $300,000 mortgage on your house and it's worth $300,000. You are bankrupt. Now, it's worse than that. many of you people out there, at least 11 million of you, have a $300,000 mortgage and your house is worth $250,000. Now, let's suppose that you came up to me and you said, look, I got this $300,000 house. That's what I think it's worth. But I can only sell it for $250,000 because of the current economic problems. And therefore, I want you to give me $250,000 for this house so that you can assume my $300,000 mortgage. Honest to God, would you do that? Because if you would, there are just millions and millions of houses all over America that you can buy. You can buy them in the morning. Probably right now, before we finish this program. You can buy those houses all day long. Now, that's preposterous poppycock. Now, let's go back here to the United States government. Now, here's your United States government and the Senate of the United States, you know, real smart people with degrees after their names. And so, president, you know, smart guy, went to Yale. And they took $85 billion of your money and paid $85 billion for a company that has $10 trillion worth of liabilities. Now, to put this in perspective here, I guess, you'd have a house that's worth $1 million. That's what you paid for it, and that's what you thought it was worth. $1 million. $1 million home. God, what a splashy place. But today it's worth $85,000. And you want me to pay you $85,000 so that I can take on a $1 million mortgage? Because that's what the taxpayers of America have been saddled with, and that's just with AIG. The other day they did the Citigroup, you know, Citibank. It had about $20 billion worth of assets. God only knows how much their liabilities are. They never did tell us what their liabilities are, but rumor has it out on the street that their liabilities are in the trillions of dollars also. We don't know if it's 10 trillion or 2 trillion or 6 trillion. I don't know. And so they're insolvent, they're bankrupt, too big to fail, and so the United States government comes in, pays $20 billion for it. Why in the hell would the government pay a dime for it? If you came to me and you said, I've got this apartment house over here, Mr. Gordon, I think it's worth $1 million, and I want you to pay me $85,000 for it, I'd say, you got to be out of your cotton picking mind. I wouldn't even take it if you gave it to me. Now, I have taken some buildings free that actually had a little bit more equity in it because they were getting close and they were poorly managed and they were going in the wrong direction and so on. If you want somebody to take over your existing business to keep you from going bankrupt, to get you off the hook for the liabilities, which is common practice, and that's reasonable to do. But for the government to pay $85 billion to buy liabilities and $20 billion to buy liabilities is so preposterous that it's a sick joke. And yet that's exactly what's happened. If you had come to me a year ago and said that's what somebody in our government's going to do, I'd say you'd have to be a madman, have to be a lunatic. Now, the people that are running your government like this, Henry Paulson, the Secretary of the Treasury, see, he's a banker. He's a fox who's in your hen house, and he's eating your chickens. So for Henry Paulson to make such a deal over here makes all the sense in the world. I mean, I wouldn't blame the fox for eating the chickens, but I'd sure as hell blame the farmer for leaving the door open for the fox to get in. You know, that's... And so now your new president-elect over here, he's bringing in Robert Rubin, who was in the Clinton administration. And this guy Rubin over here is a banker. Now, why would you people want these bankers in your business over here? I don't understand the logic behind that. I'm not going to second-guess you. You know, that's your business. You people elect and vote for, you know, whoever you want to, but... I just thought I'd point that out to you, that doesn't make a lot of sense. It doesn't make economic sense. Now, maybe it makes emotional sense or political sense or racial sense or something like that, but economically it's pretty damn dumb. Now this derivative Death Star, which now totals over $100 trillion, is about to come home to roost. It is a problem that is going to dwarf Social Security, Medicare, and the housing crisis. These derivatives out here are going to take down the whole world's economy. That's assuming that we last long enough for the derivatives to kick in. See, the derivative Death Star doesn't kick in until there are a number of defaults first, because remember, the derivatives don't have to be paid until General Motors goes bankrupt. General Motors isn't bankrupt yet. But if General Motors were to file for bankruptcy, then the people that own the bonds and so on are going to go to the insurers and say, okay, well, my worst fears have occurred. I've lost my investment. Now pay me. And there's just no way in hell that these investment banks can pay off on all of those hedge funds and all these people that are issuing all these derivatives can pay off on those. And it just isn't going to happen. There isn't enough money out there to do that. And they don't have it. Even if there was enough money out there to do it, these people don't have it. All right, so that'll bring you up to date as to where you're at. So if you think that you're going to retire, or if you have it in your mind that you're going to keep your 401k and, you know, you're going to turn 65 someday and retire in your Winnebago and drive around America, I mean, you got your head over here in Oz again. Because that isn't going to happen, boys and girls. And what's coming down is so much worse than what you believe and what you've heard, what you think, as to scare the pants off of anybody that's taking a look at the real numbers. Now, our problem here in America is we're not getting any real numbers. So that's why I want to suggest to you that you subscribe to or get hold of the international forecasters so that you can start seeing what the real news is. It could well be that Brian Williams is so damn spaced out on whatever it is that he smokes at night that he can't grasp reality. But when I watch the NBC Evening News, Brian seems to just be totally taken in and shocked by what's going on around us. Hell, we haven't even got into it yet. What we're witnessing so far is just kind of the periphery. We hit the iceberg and there's water coming into the ship, but the bow ain't underwater yet. Hey, wait until the bow goes underwater, then watch people panic. International forecaster, and the guy's name is Bob Chapman. Bob Chapman, he's an old man like me, an old fart. And you can go to internationalforecaster.com. So easy that is. It's called www.theinternationalforecaster.com. So why don't you do that? Now you can go International Forecaster if you want to send them an email. It's internationalforecaster@yahoo.com. It's easy enough. No big mystery there. It's $160 a year. Now let me put that in perspective for you. $160 a year. And I'll go on the low end. It's 20 pages times 50 weeks. We'll give him 2 weeks off and give you 20 pages twice a week. That's 40 pages. Right? That's 40 pages. Am I right? So what's 40 times 50? Let me just get my international, Texas International out here. That's 40 times 50. It's 2,000 pages. Now let's take that $160 and divide that by 2,000 pages. It's 8 cents a page. It costs you 8 cents a page, and every page in here is going to have some revelatory piece of information that you ain't never heard before. You're going to get that twice a week. I can't think of it. You can't buy your newspaper for that. And the newspaper is going to lie to you. Now, this isn't the only newsletter out there. If you don't want to buy Bob Chapman's International Forecaster because you don't like him, well, then get Don McElvaney's newsletter. Get somebody's newsletter. Get the privateer. You know, subscribe to something over here that's telling you what the hell's going on, because you're gonna be hurting here real bad. And I think 2009 is gonna see some real change like we've never seen before. You know, Barack Obama told us we're gonna get change. By God, he ain't lying to you now. By God, we're gonna get change. I don't think it's the kind of change that you want or that you're thinking about. Going on here, I got to give you a reminder that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. It's the halfway point here in the Federal Communications Commission here in India and Pakistan and around the world. They want to know, who in the hell is this guy? So I got to identify myself and give you this information whether you want to hear it or not. So you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, and we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. And the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives, all of which can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package, so be sure to order yours by calling the law school and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Now, once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that the authors and publications that we endorse are necessarily going to reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine, they're mine alone, and they do not necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. All right, we are reviewing the International Forecaster. I'm going to give you the date here. It's the December 20th, 2008 issue. And by the way, this thing comes over the Internet. And so on Wednesdays and Saturdays, you just push the button on your computer and the thing just prints right out, and my boy brings it in to me and he says, "Here it is, Dad, here's your International Forecaster." And then I sit down and 20, 30 pages later, sometimes it's 40 pages. I got one here the other day, 40 pages. And he'll tell you what's going on and who these guys are that's doing this to you. And then He offers his suggestions. He's a political animal, and he wants you to vote for the right people. And the last time he didn't think you voted for the right guys. He didn't think that Barack Obama was going to bring us the kind of change that he envisioned as being necessary or good for us. So therefore, if we're not going to get good change, you should at least be aware of the bad change that's coming so that you can prepare for it. You know, get out the Vaseline. Now, the Illuminists, he goes on to say, were in a panic mode as their conspiracy was made public. Now, this meant that their dividends, stock options, bonuses, fees, and commissions were going into the tank unless they did something and did something soon. Spreads were almost non-existent due to low perceived risk based on CDSs that turned out to be totally naked. And the Fed funds rate was at 5.25%, while prime mortgage rates hovered around 6%, and this yielded spreads of less than 1%. But since all other fees were going to get blasted, the spreads were their only bread and butter. So what is a self-respecting megalomaniacal Illuminist miscreant reprobate sociopath going to do under such horrifying circumstances? Well, I'll tell you what they did. So the first problem was that Ben Bernanke, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, was flooding the system with money and credit to keep it afloat as the credit crunch went wild, with M3 at 14% to 16%. Now, this was highly inflationary. So how can you lower borrowing rates to increase spreads when inflation is out of control? Well, the answer is you can't. So if you want to retain some semblance of credibility, then you have to do something a little different. So the Illuminati took advantage of the U.S. sheeples, he calls us sheeple, and our ignorance concerning economics. That's because we all went to public school. So the Illuminati took advantage of the U.S. sheeple's ignorance concerning economics. They know how the people look at prices to gauge inflation. Now, that's a mistake, because it's really the money supply that controls the level of inflation. Prices are the after effect. Prices are the symptom. Prices are not the cause. So while the people are looking at prices, the Illuminati ran up all the commodities, even gold and silver, for a time, so that they could bring about a dramatic drop in prices later to give the perception that inflation was now under control, but that deflation is setting in. And so now everybody's got their minds on deflation. Oh my God, deflation's coming! So you're sitting there in your house, you see, this house that you paid way more than you ought to have. You know, you paid $300,000 for it, now it's worth $2,000. And so it's deflating. And so, my God, deflation's taking over. And you've been watching commodities and prices have been declining. All right, now that's contrived. And so what you do is you create this illusion. Because at the very same time that this is going on now, the money supply, the amount of total dollars in circulation around the world, has tripled in 13 weeks. Well, it ain't quite tripled yet, but it's damn close. And they think that by January 1st of 2009, they will have it tripled. Now, when you've got... Let's see, in 1987, the number, I think, if I remember right, was $2.4 trillion was in circulation. And it reached $9 trillion by 2000. And they had hoped to increase it to $13 trillion by 2007. Now, I haven't seen a number. I don't know what the number is. But if it was 9 in 2000 and they tripled it, they should be closing in on 27 trillion. 27 trillion. Can I spell that? T-R-I-L-L-I-O-N. I'm going to write that down. $27 trillion. Now, the U.S. gross domestic product is $14 trillion a year. That's a phonied up number, but you know, if we just take them at their word, I'm using their numbers now. Don't get mad at me. My God, we got twice as much money out there in circulation as we have GDP. And every time they put a new dollar into circulation, it makes the dollar that's out there cheaper, bids up prices. And then the ultimate end to that is you're going to see a rise in prices. But that rise in prices takes 12 to 18 months before it hits the marketplace. So while they're flooding the monetary system with all this money, what we're getting set up for here is hyperinflation. That's the worst thing that can happen. I can't think of a worse thing. If you think depression's bad, you wait until we go through this hyperinflation. You ain't seen nothing yet. You see, with deflation, we just went through a little period of what we call deflation here. The price of your house went from $300,000 to $250,000, but the price of gas went from $4 to $2. So while the value of your house went down, which if you owned your house free and clear, it wouldn't make any difference. You see where I'm at. My house here was worth $300,000. Now it's only worth $2,000. So what the hell? I didn't sell it when it was at $3,000, and I ain't going to sell it when it's at $2,000. So it's a hypothetical and doesn't really affect me. But the price of gasoline going from $4 down to $2, now that really affected me, and that affected me positively. It was a good move. I liked it. Deflation is what all of us little guys out here in the marketplace would like to see more of. And inflation is what more of the bankers would like to see more of, because that's where they make their profit. Government, banks, and insurance companies make their money off of inflation. At the expense of the little guys down here at the bottom that are paying these higher prices. Now, evidently, that's the kind of change that Americans wanted, and that's what they voted in. That's what you're going to get. But I just thought I'd share with you, and if you want to get this newsletter yourself, now I don't get paid. See, Bob Chapman and I have never met. I've never shook his hand, never talked to him on the telephone. I wouldn't recognize that guy if we bumped shoulders in the mall. And then the reason that I'm recommending his newsletter is because this guy makes sense. And that's kind of what I like to do. I like to read something from somebody that has his head on straight and makes some sense. I sure as hell ain't getting it from Katie and Brian, Charlie, you know, in the evening news. And so here's what we're dealing with here. Hyperinflation, which is running at they're reporting 14 to 16% per annum, and then they come out and tell us that they've just about tripled it. And I showed you that the other day here. I'm going to do it to you again. This comes from a guy named Howard Katz, K-A-T-Z. I'm gonna digress here for a moment. Depression by Any Other Name by Howard Katz. Go to Kitco, K-I-T-C-O, Kitco.com. Kitco, Kitco.com. You can get this report free. And it's dated 12-16-08, 10:22 p.m. www.kitco.com/IND/KATZ. And you can probably get this. I turn over here to page 3, and then here it is. And he says right here, he says, so are we going to have a depression, which is called a credit contraction, implying a decline in all prices, or are we going to intensify our real depression, implying a sharp rise in prices? Well, the answer is in the chart above. Federal Reserve credit is the first step in the money creation process. It has already multiplied by 2.5 in 3 months. And Dallas Fed Chief Fisher predicts that by the end of December it will be at a multiple of 3. And the monetary base is already up by 71%, closing in on double. And nothing like this has ever happened in American history. Boys and girls, talk about change. By God, we're getting it. And we haven't even got Barack Obama. We're getting change, and we ain't even got our new president yet. Now, they're closing in on 3. Now, you know, the Fed quit publishing that M3 number, so we don't know. But there's another outfit out here called Shadow Stats, shadowstats.com. Write that down. Shadowstats.com. And they track M3 money supply through other means. It's the only source that I know of that you can get it. Well, you can probably get it from a number of other sources. I shouldn't say that, but shadowstats.com, that they cut their teeth on these numbers, and so you go to shadowstats.com, ask them what M3 is, and they'll tell you. I mean, these people have just gone plumb loco. This is insanity, built on insanity that we have never experienced in the history of our country. And the people that are doing this to us aren't insane. These people are doing this to us on purpose, and they know exactly what they're doing and know exactly how to do it. That's why I told you a while ago, I better get your Vaseline out, because these boys know what they're doing. Now, let's flip over the page here. This is how they justified the near zero interest rates that you're now seeing, which can yield a huge spread of about 5%, which is more than five times which was available before all this trouble started. Hey, these guys are going to be making money hand over fist here. They got the interest rate down to 1% and they're charging you 6. That's a spread of 5. Now their profits are back. You've got runaway inflation headed to hyperinflation. These boys have you believing that deflation is coming. They've created the illusion of deflation. At the same time, they're creating inflation such as we've never seen in American history. Talk about some change coming on now. There's going to be change. Trust me. You know, if you can't trust your banker, who can you trust, huh? And now in the meantime, the Federal Reserve arranged to accelerate the payment of interest on hoarded bank capital on reserve with the Fed. This bank capital will now be deployed, but it will be used for elitist speculation and insider trading, not for the opening of credit markets to consumers. See, now when they made this loan here, remember this $800 billion bailout the other day? They call it the TCP something or other. They said, well, now we need to do this so we can get these frozen credit markets cranking again. Remember how they told you they're going to do that? All right. Well, that was a lie. They got the money. Well, they haven't got it all yet, but they got the law passed, and President Bush signed it at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. They passed it at noon, and he signed it at 2 o'clock. I mean, these people are in a hurry to get this thing underway. And so they're taking, they got the first $350 billion of it out, and they've taken the money and they've hoarded it. Now they're paying out dividends and bonuses. God love you taxpayers out there. Huh? But they're not lending it. Not yet. Now they're going to lend it here pretty shortly. But they're not going to lend it until you're so tapped out and on the ropes over there and so desperate that you don't know what to do next. Then you'll be more compliant to following instructions. Now the idea is to keep the salaries, bonuses, dividends, and spreads going in order to line the pockets of the elitists, not to save you people out there in the middle class. They're going to throw your money by way of taxpayer-funded bailouts down a rat hole, the exit for which comes out into their back pockets. And they will become fabulously wealthy while you are hyperinflated into oblivion. You, the middle class of America, are going to be wiped out as your dollars are thrown at insolvent elitist companies that are being artificially animated like zombies. Taxpayer-owned equities received in exchange for bailout money are absolutely worthless, and they will reinflate after they have destroyed the auto industry and as many non-illuminist companies as they can to eliminate competition. And the loan money will not be available for these unfortunate souls and entities. Ford may absorb GM and Chrysler before it also is destroyed, and then it will be nationalized, as our communist comrade Obama uses members of the former Clinton administration to destroy what is left of our economy. All right, now pay attention here, boys and girls, because this is already underway. But I'm not sitting here as a prophet telling you, my God, here's what's coming. I'm a reporter reporting on, here's what they've already done to you. You didn't know what had happened to you because you didn't have the international forecaster. So this is Bob Chapman. He's just a reporter telling you, okay, now here's what they've already done. All right, now let me back up here a second, because down in Argentina, they just went out and nationalized all of the retirement programs of the Argentines down there, and that's what they're talking about in Congress. Now, Roosevelt, in 1933, he confiscated all of our gold. Actually, we were complicit with the confiscation, but nevertheless, you know, Congress enacts a law, and then here's what they're going to do. Now, here's what they're going to do. There's trillions and trillions of dollars that you middle-class Americans, you baby boomers, now have in your 401ks and Kroger retirement programs deposited in these banks, and you're afraid to take it out because of this 20% penalty, see? I mean, you got to pay taxes on that. All right. Now, wake up to reality, because Congress is proposing, and they're taking testimony as I speak, and they've got it in the works. They're going to seize all of the private pension funds in the country and nationalize them. Okay? Now, you heard it here first. Got that? Note it down. Put it on your calendar. That crazy, wacko, right-wing, radical, reactionary Gordon says they're going to nationalize all of the retirement funds. God, that's the biggest pumpkin in the patch. Your retirement. And as this credit crisis deepens and inflation roars, and foreclosures escalate. That's what Roosevelt did back there. He said, my God, we've got this economic crisis and we have to take action. And so we're going to take all your gold away from you in the national interest. Isn't that just real special? We're going to take your car away from you. We're going to protect you. We're going to take your house away from you. We're going to take your job. We're just doing it because we love you. We're from the government. We're here to help. All right, tuck it away in your heart. Now, does he really expect change from these people? Barack Obama, does he really expect change coming from these Clinton appointees? Of course not. And Barack Obama did not pick his cabinet. They were chosen for him. Now, I'm going to tell you who the guy is that makes this choice for the president, in case you didn't know. There are 13 members. The 13 most powerful men on planet Earth are the 13 members of the Bank for International Settlements. It's called the BIS. BIS. I write that down. These are the people that direct world events. These are the people that tell Queen Elizabeth, this is what we want you to do. George Bush gets his instructions from the BIS. They don't get it from the CFR. They don't get it from the Masonic Order. You know, George Bush isn't taking his instructions from Skull and Bones. He gets his instructions from the BIS. Policy is made by institutions, you know, like the CFR and the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers and so on. Those are policy think tanks. Those are where the politicians and the Dan Rathers, and the Brian Williamses, and the Katie Couric's go to get their instructions as to what they're supposed to do. All right. Now, note that the asset losses worldwide are in the tens of trillions. Last number I saw on asset losses, so far, $40 trillion. Now, that's equal to $44 trillion a year is what the entire world gross domestic product is. And so we have now lost one full year of gross domestic product. That's so far. But this does not necessarily indicate deflation. Only to the extent the money supply is contracted by these losses are these deflationary forces unleashed. And not all asset losses translate into a contraction in the money supply. We believe that the $9 trillion that the Fed has pumped in thus far is just enough to offset the contraction in the money supply due to asset losses. They're waiting to maximize spreads before they undertake to reinflate. But when they reinflate, this will create inflationary forces that will require interest rates to rise on everything except bank loans for a time, thus increasing their spreads even more. But at some point in time, the Fed will have to raise rates again on the banks also. Now, the banks are intentionally holding back on lending. They're hoarding their reserves at the direction of the Fed so that the Fed could have some justification for bringing rates down to 1%. Lending out their reserves would have been inflationary and made rate reductions impossible. So they were told to wait. Now that the rates are down, you can expect reinflation to take advantage of high spreads for as long as they can give the appearance that inflation is under control. That'll work for about 12 to 18 months. It takes about 12 to 18 months for all this money now to boost prices. This is why gold and silver suppression is job one at the Fed. But they're looking at a possible delivery failure in precious metals. Delivery failure in precious metals. December 31st, the fat lady sings, and the COMEX has to deliver. Get this, 43%, pushing half of the gold in the COMEX, the people that hold the contracts want physical delivery. Never happened before in history. Nobody who buys and sells commodities takes physical possessions. I mean, you don't take a contract on copper and then say, okay, back the truck up to the dock and unload the copper. Investors don't take delivery. They just buy and sell paper. But now, the COMEX, 43%. And they have to deliver by December 31st. Last word I got was the Bank of England is shipping gold as fast as they can load it so that they can meet deliveries at the COMEX so that they don't default. If there's a gold default on delivery, we don't know what's going to happen. It's never happened before. But it'll sure as hell tell you where your fiat money system is, won't it? Now, if you want my personal opinion, I don't think that they've got 100% of the gold in the COMEX in New York. In fact, I'll tell you something else. I don't think they got 43% either. I don't know what they've got, but December 31st is going to tell the tale. But I'll bet you that they've already looted it and sent it off to Israel. It's gone, just like the gold in Fort Knox is gone. If you think you've got a gold stash in Fort Knox, you're living in the land of Oz here, kids. If you think that the COMEX has got 100 cents on the dollar, I know you're out in space. You must have some good stuff you're smoking there. Now, I don't think they got 43%. I'm not sure they got 10%. And I think that's an empty shell. And this could have the effect of defeating their plans by exposing that we're really still in an inflationary mode, not a deflationary one. The only thing propping up the dollar now are settlements of CDS losses in the unregulated over-the-counter market, where arrangements have been made to settle losses on demand whenever the dollar needs a boost. And so they're out there, they're paying them off. They're just printing them up and sending them off. Boy, those chickens are going to come home to roost. I'm going to put my little mark here in the margin. We'll take it up right there next time on the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Don't forget, this is called the InternationalForecaster.com. Just go to the InternationalForecaster.com. Tell them you need a subscription. All right, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. For more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact desk, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly and has a radio log schedule and archives. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. Time's up. I've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.